I appreciate the fact that you are letting me school here for the university building. With the pandemic, with the pandemic going on, you know, it's a worse thing that some people are very careless, because a lot of individuals who are asymptomatic are carriers. And it's really disgusting and disappointing when healthcare providers have publicly people to find their noses, their saliva, wipe on their clothes, and they don't even wash their hands. We will think that they'd be smart enough to do that. But I was sick in Iceland a long time, and I do remember this man from NFC and Alaska Regional, and with my friend, Dr. Cusano, I asked Dr. Cusano, we had that gripe in all our lives. And he when he presents, he's very sensible, he's very scientific, and he's very patient. And of course, the first time I saw him, and I cried because I had wanted him to be around forever ago. And he really does work with everybody, the partners, globally, actually. And that's what we should do. And in Anchorage, even animals are affected with Corona-19, and that's dangerous. And so many people believe that they are resistant to the disease, but nobody in the world is resistant. Okay, and that's what we all should keep together in mind. It was the worst thing to be when I came back from Anchorage, even though I'm negative for Corona. I had to be isolated for 14 days. And the people that worked at the apartment building had everyone believed that I was positive. And I kept telling her, no, I'm not. And so what I'm trying to say is, if we all take every person individually and listen to them and don't ever try to know what's best for each one of us, because you really don't know what's the best for each of us. We as persons, we know what is the best for us. And it's really stupid when I can't breathe and I have to go to the ER. When I'm coughing, I can't take a deep breath. And healthcare provider will say, take a deep breath, and I say, I cannot take a deep breath when I'm coughing. So, and don't categorize everyone into one window, because we're all individuals. There's always a difference. And it's getting scary with that and intersexual assault. There are people who know that they're positive for a lot of things, and yet they still are offending children and others. And it bothers the heck out of me when smart young people are offended like that, because every time that happens, Those of us who have been offended in the past, we get bad flashbacks. And please keep that in mind. And I have so much to say, but I finally mailed my letter that I wrote a long time ago to Delta, and hopefully when that's printed, that you all read it, because in it, I think you are good suggestions, and I know you will learn a lot from that. If you don't learn, it will cause you to stop thinking.
Thank you, Ms. Nanelk.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. The next on the list for people to be heard is Mr. Howell. Bill, if you can come on up here. I know I don't need to remind you, but you have only 5 minutes, Bill.
When does my time start, Mr. Mayor? May I remove my mask to speak?
Yes, please.
Sure. Thank you.
State your name and spell your name, please.
My name is Bill Howell, B-I-L-L-H-O-W-E-L-L. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I came tonight to spoke in opposition to Ordinance 2012, which is a vote by mail. I believe it's in a public hearing this evening. And, you know, I kind of think of this as a solution in need of a problem. We here in Bethel have enjoyed relative safety and insulation from COVID. What was originally widely believed to be, you know, nearly the next zombie apocalypse, and which was absolutely terrifying at the time, has turned out to be somewhat less than that, quite a bit less than that. And I'm just concerned about that move, not only in Bethel, but nationally. In the United States, typically voting is done through, and I think I'm losing my mic here. Voting is done through citizens initiating action first. And what's unusual about this is that a citizen, other than being registered, which happens simply by getting a license or by getting a driving permit or an ID card or things of this nature, you're registered to vote. You know, when's the last time that those voter rolls have been cleared out? When, you know, how many people are on those voter rolls that are no longer in Bethel? We hear all around the country about these mail-in votes and these mail-in primaries, is that these ballots pile up and pile up outside of post office boxes. They pile up in trash cans. They're sent all over the country to different addresses that aren't even in that precinct or in that voting district. And so I'm concerned about election security. And I'm also concerned about people that are high risk and people that are worried about getting sick. And those people who are at risk can request an absentee ballot. So I'm 100% in support of absentee ballots, but once again, that is a citizen initiating the action, not the government initiating the voting action. It is a citizen requesting their vote, their ability to vote from the government and acting, as is walk-up voting. That's a citizen initiating action and voting. And, you know, I asked myself, what is so unsafe about voting in person right now? I don't think that anybody is reeling in terror when you decide to go to AC to pick up a six-pack of pop, when you go to the barber shop, when you go and stand in line at a marijuana or alcohol store, or go to the restaurant. The gyms are open, the pools are open, the churches are open. And I mean, obviously there's risk out there. We're wearing masks, we're doing social distancing. These types of solutions can also be applied in a vote in person voting scheme. And so I'm concerned about fraud, and I'm concerned about, you know, just this trend to a system that is not as secure as our current system. I may speak again at the public hearing for this, but I thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Howell.
Yep.
Thank you for your time.
Let me add that I am speaking as a citizen, not as a fire chief tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're moving on to Ms. Bev Hoffman. Hey, Bev.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you, Council, for all your work, and especially on this beautiful evening, and especially during the continued COVID-19 pandemic crisis. We must still stay vigilant as we watch Alaska cases spiking again.
Hey, Bev, if you can state your name and spell your name, please.
Oh,
just for the record.
Okay, Beverly Hoffman, Beverly Hoffman. Sorry about that. But to continue on, you know, I do feel that Alaska cases are on the rise and we must be vigilant. I would wish that everyone arriving in Bethel would get the COVID-19 test. I don't like people opting out of that. But a couple of things that I wanted to talk about tonight. I joined the national outrage over the murder of George Floyd by police in Minnesota. And I support the Bethel PD here. I think that they've made some changes. But I would like to see the city of Bethel and the department get involved in future dialogues and the peaceful protests. I know that we've dealt with rogue police officers in the past, but I would like to see, you know, the city reviewing their own training policies at the PD in light of everything that's happening on the national level. And one thing I was like to see our PD do is make friendly stops to parks and other public places during their shifts as they drive around town, just, you know, to create better relations just here in Bethel, just a simple thing. That's one thing that I wanted to talk to you about tonight. Number three, an ordinance is being introduced tonight outlining the history of the different ordinances over the years dealing with the city sales tax dedicated to phase one and phase two of the fitness center. And I think it's an excellent ordinance that will continue to provide needed operating funds for the Waikiki Fitness Center. And I'm asking council for your support of that. Healthy outlets make for healthy communities. As a Parks and Rec committee member, I'm sorry that we were not more involved in the YK Fitness Center budget. The COVID-19 crisis prevented much of our involvement in meetings, but I would like you to support it, knowing that we'll continue to address bringing the costs down and work on increasing revenue. Of course, with COVID-19, not knowing where it's going to go or what's it just seems to medical scientists that it's going to be a while. And then finally, you know, I support looking into mail-in votes. Other states have done it. Other communities have done it. After watching the fraud or the concerns in our last election of infiltrating votes and watching what happened in Georgia today, I think we need to look at things like that. So yeah, that's it. Again, Brianna, I'm going to probably sign off this Zoom and listen on radio. Brianna.
Thank you, Bev. It's good to see that you're keeping yourself healthy and appreciate your input.
Thank you.
And we're moving on to Melanie Fredericks, or M. Fredericks. I think it's Melanie. Melanie, if you could state your name and spell your name, please, for the record.
Yes, good evening. It is Melanie Fredericks, M-E-L-A-N-I-E-F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K-S. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am, we can. Thank you, Melanie.
All right, thank you. Well, first of all, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Melanie, and I've been a resident of Bethel for going on 20 years. I'm originally from St. Mary's, but I live here, and my kids and we all identify Bethel as our home. So I decided to attend tonight to also raise some concerns and hopefully just some ideas to put forward to the council around the Black Lives Matter movement and how that movement and the death of George Floyd has, you know, how it reaches our community. And I've been thinking a lot about exactly how it reaches our community and trying not to feel removed from it, because a lot of times what's going on out in the lower 48 and outside of Bethel can feel very far and feel like something that's not, quote unquote, not our problem, or that doesn't pertain to us. And so I wanted to take some time today to just reach out to the council and the city to really be proactive with this and to be open-minded and to create the time and space for our community, for yourselves and for our community, to have the discussions around racism, institutional racism, and the disparities across the board for people of color. And so we all know that the protests right now, and you've seen a couple of them happen in our community so far, but the protests right now are focused particularly around law enforcement and the use of force and the unjust killings of particularly Black men and men of color. And so I am hoping that the council and this will take the time to have the discussions about the disparities in our community and in our region. Take the time to look at recruiting processes, training processes, the force policies, as well as the community relationship and presence. I feel like I've been pretty positive about the recruiting practices. I'm so happy that we have a handful of young men who are from our community that have joined BPD here. And I'd like to see more of that and more creative ways for recruitment. For training, I'm not sure what training practices are, but in particular, I would encourage training around personal bias and training around cultural humility, so that when new police officers are hired, and even hiring practices, how all of that contributes to a really full understanding of, you know, the people who live here and our culture. I know that Bethel is a really diverse community, actually, and so that makes it even more important. And then just to kind of echo some of what Bev shared, you know, I did think about a time where I did really feel like our police department and the police officers made some really good relationships with kids by handing out stickers. There was a time when I lived here when I regularly saw police officers stopping to talk to kids in our neighborhood, you know, and the kids were happy and they were excited and curious. And so I just want to say that, you know, those kinds of things and those kinds of ways that we are making an effort to foster a healthy relationship with our police department are so important for our kids And it's so important for them to see, you know, positive role models and to not be afraid of our police and to know that, you know, they're there to protect us and help us. So with that, I want to thank you all for your service to our community. And I also want to thank the Bethel Police Department as well for their service. And I hope that, like I said, you all will commit to creating time and space to have these really important discussions about what's happening throughout our country right now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Fredericks. Thank you for your insightfulness. It's always great to hear from members of the public who are concerned about our community and continue to care for this community. So thank you, Melanie. So we're going to go on, but before we do, the chair would just like to recognize our new chief, who is in the gallery, Mr. Simmons. Mr. Simmons has been here with his wife for the last couple of days, I'm told. And I'd like to say welcome to the city of Bethel and welcome to Bethel. Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Chief Simmons. So we're going to move on to item number 5, the approval of the consent agenda and regular agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve both the consent and the regular agenda.
I move to approve the consent and regular agenda.
So moved by Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Springer. Thank you, sir. And all those in favor or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the approval of the consent and regular agenda indicate by saying aye.
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 Did I hear you, Ms. Hansen? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said aye.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. So we have an agenda. Item number 6 is the approval of meeting minutes. And item 6.1, 5/19/2020, special city council meeting budget. That passed on the consent agenda. 6.2, 5/21, so again, another special city council meeting. That passed on the consent agenda. Item number 6.3. Passed on the consent agenda. Item 6.4, 5/28/2020, special city council meeting, that passed on the consent agenda. 6.5, 6/1/2020, special meeting, again, that passed on the consent agenda. We'll move on to the item number 7, reports of the standing committees, and we'll start off with Mr. Diamond for the Port Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. So, we haven't had a meeting since I reported last, but just for, I guess, for the public that didn't hear that, we currently have a functioning and stable Port Commission that's hard at work. We have a Port Department, which is hard at work. They're part of the budget. Things are looking good. They've been removing lots of abandoned properly. There's a kind of a due process and meticulous way you can remove abandoned vehicles, which they've been doing. And that's it. And I'll have more when we have our next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. And to the Planning Commission, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hi, yeah. So the last meeting that they had in May, there were no items on the agenda. And so there was no quorum because there was nothing for the meeting. But the next meeting is going to be this Thursday, June 11th at 6:30 p.m. And the 3 items of new business are discussion items, such as Haroldson subdivision, tall towers, and zoning different subdivisions. So those will be discussion items. So if the public is interested in weighing in on any of that or having their voices be heard, they're welcome to attend. And that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. And the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board, that is my committee. We missed our meeting on June the 2nd, and we're planning to have a meeting on June the 10th. 17th? Okay, John Sargent is in the gallery and reminded me that we are having our meeting on June the 17th at 6:30, correct? 7 p.m. And I understand that we have two applicants. So June the 17th, and what is decided in that meeting, we'll move on to approval by the or submission to the council on June 22nd, and the payment will be on June 26th. So that is it from me. And we're going to go on to the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health Safety Center Committee. Council Member DeWitt.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Barr. This committee met last night. Highlights, I'm just taking some notes here. Highlights from that committee meeting included a lot of support, requests, I guess is the better way to put it, for the city to apply for and secure funding for the initial steps for a phase two multi-purpose facility. And that would basically be feasibility. And that's been on the radar for some time now. And the reason for the urgency is we want to be prepared for any kinds of sources of funding that might come down the line in the next several months that would be allowable to be used for such a purpose. So I just want to make everyone aware of that. The committee is very appreciative of the cleanup greenup efforts and the efforts at the park on parks on Saturday, where folks came out and did some cleanup in the park. The city manager attended the meeting, which was fantastic. Even though most of the members were virtual, you know, many people haven't had a chance to meet or talk with our city manager, so that was great. And he talked a bit about the 4th of July and plans for the parade and proposed a couple of parade routes that would be extended so people could stay in their neighborhood and not gather too closely together. The committee felt like those were both great ideas. We took a look at the budget that is in our packet for the YK Regional Health and Safety Aquatic Safety Training Center, the fitness center. And if you remember in some of our budget hearings, I was like, oh man, I wish we would have had a chance to look at this a bit more at the committee level. And I have a couple of changes that I'll bring forward when we get to that section of our agenda tonight. Also in your packets, and it passed on the consent agenda, was an ordinance memorializing the 0.5% of sales tax dedicated to the fitness center. There's a long history in that. Hopefully you guys had a chance to read it if you're listening. That's in the packet online at the City of Bethel website. It's a great document. The committee was super happy about it. And finally, we just sort of reviewed the fact that the health fitness contract is coming up for renewal, and they've submitted a proposal or a contract with the city to exercise an option to renew, and that's something we'll be talking about at a future meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And we're moving on to the Finance Committee. Council Member Franco, please.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. Hold on, I'm just pulling up. There was a meeting on the 1st. I was unable to attend because we had a City Council budget meeting. But based off the agenda and a few comments I heard from the members who were in attendance, it sounds like there are some draft ordinances that they'll be submitting up to council in the coming weeks, just regarding the business license fee, sales tax certificate application, just a few changes as far as the process goes for applying for those, and just streamlining and making things easier for the finance department. Just a reminder that we do have, I believe, two vacant seats on the Finance Committee if anybody is interested in joining. Typically, our meetings are on the fourth Monday of the month. We've had a few conflicts with that recently. I'm sure I'll be able to give an update before the next meeting regarding when that will be. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. So you have two vacant positions for the committee?
That's correct. I believe there's one seat vacant and then one alternate member is also open.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. And I know that I've pointed out people in the public before. I think Seth Nadol would be a great member of your finance committee, just for your information. For the Public Works Committee, Councilmember Leary.
Thank you. So our next regular meeting, I also don't really have anything new to report. We haven't met since our last regular council meeting. The next Public Works meeting is going to be Wednesday, June 17th. We are also shopping for new members. We just had one resign, and I believe we already had a couple of seats open. And I have heard someone else might be leaving too, so I'm just trying to put in a plug. So Public Works Committee, we talk about anything from streets and roads, water treatment, hauled utilities, lagoon operations, piped utilities, solid waste, things that affect all of our lives. Somehow this touches on every single resident. So, you know, if you have strong opinions, good or bad, about Public Works, we would love to hear from you. Even just to join, you know, as part of People to be Heard, we are always very welcome to hearing from the public. So June 17th, 5:30, we are still doing Zoom meetings for now, but look forward to hearing from some new members of the public.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. And last but not least, Mr. Springer with the Public Safety and Transportation Committee.
Well, I got news. We actually have a quorum now. Cool. Hold the applause. So we'll be having an actual meeting here in June. So thank you to everybody who stepped up and be just in time for the new police chief to come on board too. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Item 7.1, committee, commission, board agendas and draft meeting minutes. We'll move on to item number 8, special order of business, the item 8.1, cleanup, greenup. Let's proceed.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind waiting just a second to make sure Teddy is ready. You're going to go on Facebook here in just a second.
Ooh. Facebook
live. Are you all set, Teddy?
Yes, you're live.
Great. Right. I'm going to leave them.
Okay. So we're going to do the 0 to 12 first. So the background, the cleanup greenup, of course, is something that we do every year. And this year, we had prizes that we're going to give out. And there's a couple bikes. There's some Nintendo Switch, I guess they're called.
Switch Lite,
I'm sorry. And we're going to start with the, so one ticket was given out for each LPAR bag full of trash. The more bags people turned in, the more tickets with their name on it were entered into the drawing. So we're going to start with the first age group, which is 0 to 12. And we're going to do the
Nintendo Switch Lite.
So age group, 0 to 12.
One winner.
So, okay, here we go. Let me have you come on up here and help. If you want to grab, yeah. Yep. So reach in there and grab a ticket. No peeking. Okay. So the winner of a Nintendo Switch Lite is Mose, M-O-S-E. Must be Moses, but phone number 545-7008. So congratulations to Mose. 0 to 12 for bicycle. First drawing, we have two. And the winner for the bike is Emily Crow of Bethel, phone number 545-1401. And for the second bike, this is the London Kids, Adam London, 830-6848 is the phone number. So congratulations to those kids ages 0 to 12. Okay. We're getting set up for the age 13 and over. We'll have some of the same prize packages. So just so everybody knows, there's 12 more prizes that will be drawn by the Port of Bethel staff members tomorrow. Winners of these 12 prizes will be called by the port staff. Prizes include two $75 gift cards to Bethel PC Store and 10 swim passes from YK Delta Lifesavers. Okay, and for the age group, 13 plus, for a Nintendo Switch Lite. Okay, the first winner for the Nintendo Switch Lite is Peyton Boney. Phone number 545-3625. So, Peyton Boney. So we have three more bikes. For 13 and over. We have three bicycles for ages 13 and over. And the first bicycle goes out to Nikolai Joke. Phone number 523-0352. And the second bicycle goes out to Jason? KASONAL. It's hard to read the writing, but phone number 545-4789. Thanks. Okay, for the third bicycle, it is Caitlin LaRue, 545-0119. And one of the things that I'd like to do is thank our sponsors for this, where YK Delta Lifesavers donated the 10 swim passes, the Bethel Volunteer Emergency Services Association, they donated $1,000 in cash to buy the bicycles, and of course our Port of Bethel, under the City of Bethel, for their donation of the bicycles. So thanks everybody.
Yeah, and Mr. Mayor, let's not forget the biggest part of this is all the young people. That's a lot of tickets there. So that's a lot of yellow bags that got picked up around town. So thank you to them.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how many bags they picked, but looks like at least a couple hundred. So good job, kids. Thank you for doing that. So we're moving on to the item number 9, unfinished business, item 9.1. Public hearing of ordinance 2012, establishing a City of Bethel budget for fiscal year 2021, beginning July 1st of 2020, ending June 30th of 2021. I'll open this up for public hearing.
And Mayor Barr, do you want me to disclose a conflict now or after the public hearing?
Let's do it now.
Okay. As we get ready for public hearing, I'll just disclose that there is one budget item related to housing that's in the administration's budget, I believe, and that budget item is for $20,000. It's undetermined what that item might be used for, but it presumably could be used to rent an apartment which could potentially be owned by the organization I work for, and a fairly negligible, some of those profits, one could say, might be used for payroll. So you can see where, if you could extrapolate, that there could be a conflict there. I did speak with the city attorney today and, you know, discuss the code and whether or not this is, you know, substantial. But I wanted to bring that to your attention so you could make that ruling. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. You personally are not a recipient of any of the funds, are you?
Did you say, am I a recipient of the funds?
Yeah, a personal recipient.
Well, you know, some profit from that could be used for payroll. You know, it sort of all just goes in our general fund, sort of like the city's office budget. So it's reasonable to think that some small portion of that could be allocated to my payroll.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Springer.
I think our practice in the past has been that in you know, really small amounts of money that are in budgets or that are in items that we have in a consideration that, pardon me, might have a you know, might trickle into somebody's paycheck, that doesn't rise to, at least certainly not in my view, that doesn't rise to a conflict of interest.
Thank you, Mr. Springer, for your input. So, Ms. DeWitt, I'm going to rule that does not equate to a conflict of interest.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt, for bringing that up. Anybody else for the public hearing?
Mr. Mayor, I had a similar situation. Do you remember when I declared my conflict before? And so I needed to make a statement at this time, too, prior to voting on the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. For the benefit of the public, I have a son who works for the city, works for the fire department. So I suspected that met the fairly new definition of a conflict of interest, and I conferred with the city attorney. She agreed. And so I declared that conflict during budget meetings and didn't participate in any discussion when it came to the Bethel PD or Bethel Fire Department emergency services. And those of you who know me, I mean, I'm not shy to talk, but I definitely did not talk. I kept it shut, and as I've done before on council in the past on other issues. And so my vote in favor of in the overall budget, I'll be voting, but my vote for the overall budget or against the budget doesn't take into consideration the emergency services department. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Are you asking for a ruling?
No, because we already ruled on
it. Yeah, we have.
We ruled on it at the previous meeting.
Yes, sir. Great. Anybody else for the public hearing? I don't hear any, so I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 20-12.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance 2012 for the fiscal year 2021 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Do I have a second?
I so move for Anthem.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Discussion?
Mayor Barr, could I make a motion to amend the FY21 budget?
Yes, ma'am, you can.
Insert under general fund transfers, transfers to the YK Fitness Center, the Aquatic Center, marijuana tax of $40,000. Marijuana tax was accidentally left off of revenue.
Okay.
And the estimated revenue amount for marijuana tax is $600,000. So that $40,000 is equal to 0.5% of the sales tax collected.
Yeah, I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Second by Mr. Springer. So the amendment would be to transfer $40,000 from the marijuana tax to the Aquatic Center, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. And discussion? Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of said motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Thank you, everybody. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt.
And Mayor, I have another motion.
Yes, Ms. DeWitt?
This is to amend the enterprise fund of the YK Regional Health and Aquatic Safety Center to strike the $2,199, $199,894, and insert, did I say 2,000? $2,199,894, sorry, everyone, and insert $1,835,999.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Ms. DeWitt for the Enterprise Fund, YK Regional Health and Aquatic Center. The current budget, $2,199,894 to $1,835,990. And seconded by Ms. Leary. Further discussion?
This is a reduction. This would be a reduction, Mayor Barr, in the contractor pass-through expense, which is currently $1,064,595. And we would amend that to $700,000. A difference of $363,895. That was a suggestion from committee to reduce the pass-through expenditure.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. So, further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, perhaps Council Member can explain that just a little bit more for those of us that are trying to keep score.
Sure. Yeah. So in review of what was proposed, there were some increases in the fitness center budget. You know, some increases can't be, some increases are valid and, you know, they're just what they are. But in this case, you know, we're really working hard to not increase exponentially our spending at that facility. And in reviewing previous spending and prior year spending, our operator has never been able to spend that level of funding, particularly out of personnel, on the contractor pass-through line. And so in order to get this budget to more accurately reflect real potential for both revenue and spending, we made these adjustments.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for your committee's work, too, Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Any further discussion? Sounds like a lot of hard work, Michelle.
It's an engaged, very engaged committee.
Yes, ma'am. Appreciate the commitment. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor of said amendment, reducing the amount to the YK Health and Aquatic Center from 2.199894 to 1.835990, indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. And we'll go back to the main motion of the adopting ordinance 20-12. Further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
I just, you know, as in every year, the council puts a lot of work into putting the budget together. The draft is prepared by the administration, who, between Bill and the city manager and all their help and staff, did a very good job. We finally had it up on an Excel spreadsheet on a screen so we could watch it being massaged in real time, and that was quite helpful. Not so much if you were listening on the Zoom call, but if you're here, it was good. We certainly didn't have those long, hot nights in a cramped room like we have in the past. So it was quite as much fun, but We ended up balancing it. We ended up with a little bit of surplus. Yes, we did. The budget does use previously unexpended collected tax funds from previous years to pay for some capital items that are of long-lasting value to the city. And we made, I don't think, any significant reductions in personnel I think we did a pretty good job and came out with a pretty good budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Anyone else? Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, I'd speak in favor of the motion for the budget. I participated in this, that's probably my fourth or fifth budget. And one thing, and it was tough because we've had a finance department in some turmoil and we've had a brand new city manager. And we had a lot of folks on council who hadn't done budgets before, and that includes me because it had been so long. But what I appreciated about how this council worked together, I really did, was it looked like people were trying to reach consensus. And when that's possible, that's a good way to approach things when it's doable. And there's going to be things in this budget which I personally don't agree with, but I don't disagree strongly. And there's things I'm very much in favor of. So I think that was with this body, we have a lot of pretty sharp tacks up here. I really appreciated how the council worked together on that, and really, and some members had a great eye for detail, much better than myself. So I really did appreciate it. And I think the community will benefit.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Anyone else? Ms. DeWitt?
Mayor Barr, thank you. Much as Mark credited many of the staff who worked hard on this budget, and I echo that, I also wanted to let the public know who are listening or in the room, City Council was highly engaged in this process. People came to every single meeting. And I remember hearing in past years, it was difficult to get quorums for budget meetings and so on and so forth. And folks really showed up. So I want to thank all my fellow council members for really showing up.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Anyone else? Hearing nothing else, I'll close the public hearing. And we are back to our main motion. All those in favor of adopting ordinance 20-12, do you need a roll call, Lori?
Yes, we do, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Our roll call, please.
Councilmember Franco?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen?
Yes.
Mayor Barr?
Yes.
Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Councilmember DeWitt?
Yes.
And Councilmember Dynan?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. We'll move on to item number 9.3, public hearing of ordinance 20-14, amending chapter 15-12.060 ANC of the Bethel Municipal Code to make explicitly clear that the 10-day deadline to review site plan permit application does not apply to projects that require state or federal approval and to remove the four references to tentative approval. Oh, did I skip that one?
Yeah, I think we're on 2013.
Sorry.
The big one.
The big one. So I apologize. I skipped 9.2 and moved on to 9.3. Item 9.2 is the public hearing of ordinance 20-13, amending chapter 7 regarding city elections to provide for vote by mail elections. I'll open this up for public hearing. Any members of the public or the council that would like to speak on this subject, please do so now. There's no one present to be heard, so I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion to adopt 20-13.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance 2013.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. There's a motion on the floor by Mr. Springer to adopt 20-13. And seconded by Ms. Leary. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
You know, we considered something similar to this a number of years ago. Councilmember Charles Herman brought it up. It didn't pass, as I recall. It was subject to a pretty fair amount of debate. And part of the argument for it was to increase participation in elections. And I know that there are, you know, fundamental political theory thoughts that say, well, you you know, you really only want people voting that are paying attention to what they're voting about, and they're the ones that'll turn out. Here in Alaska, we've used the term super voter for decades now. Somebody who votes in every primary, somebody who votes in every general election, somebody who votes in every special election. Those are super voters. Those are the people that campaigners really target. I think that every voter, every registered voter has the potential to be a super voter, number one. I don't think that just because you voted 10 times out of the last 10 elections makes your vote any more valuable than some 18-year-old who just registered to vote and is voting for the first time. So that's number one. Voting by mail has been proven here in Alaska. Municipality of Anchorage has been doing it. They, in fact, just signed a memorandum of agreement with the city and borough of Juneau to help them with their vote by mail program. So we are not sending ballots, you know, all over the country. If you're a registered voter in Bethel, you live in Bethel. Voting by mail has been done for the last, I don't know if they voted by mail during the Civil War, but the military has been voting by mail certainly since World War I. And it hasn't seemed to cause any problems. And, you know, sometimes there's a lot of military guys deployed and ladies deployed, and they're voting by mail. So that's a lot of ballots that are going to their local precincts. It's the same thing with absentee ballots. There is always an aggressive in political campaigns. You know, the first lesson you learn in campaign management is get the absentee voter list and get those ballots sent out. So voting by mail is absolutely not the boogeyman that it is made out to be in some circles in cities, much, you know, very far away from here in different time zones. Now, one thing where it can be advantageous for Bethel, and not just because maybe in winter we're going to have one heck of a COVID-19 epidemic, but, you know, voting by mail works really good for special elections. And we have special elections here. You know, we have not had our last local option election in this town. We haven't. And the mayor's like, really? You know, sales tax elections. There are reasons that you have special elections, and voting by mail really works for that because you get the ballots in every voter's hands, and that's the whole idea. Even voting in person, it's not like it used to be. You know, the ballot box used to be the purview of, the ladies in the church basement. You know, that's where you went to vote, and they ran it. Now, luckily, here in Bethel, we have our own ladies in the church basement, so to speak, that run our precincts very well. But I think that voting by mail as an option, and that's all this is, and I certainly wouldn't object to hearing the city clerk talk about this for a few minutes, just the nuance of it. This is nothing that the public should, be fearful of. It's not anything that would be manipulable by forces outside the control of, you know, the city clerk and the elections officials. So I support this wholeheartedly.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. We're still in discussion. Ms. Leary?
So I guess the last time when we discussed it, it's my understanding that the ballots would be, and this is an option, just wanted to highlight that again. We can't highlight that enough. This does not mean, if this passes tonight, this does not mean our next election will be a by-mail election. This means we will have the option to, and I like it as an option because as we see case numbers go up every day with COVID, and as we see the state opening back up and the country opening back up, we're going to see another increase. And as Lori had said before, it wasn't, I mean, it is so that we can protect the public and the voters that want to come and participate, but also our, as Mark just described, our ladies in the basement, the committee that I can't think of the name of right now, but the lovely group of people that helped Lori with the election, Canvas Board. But you know that they are an at-risk group, or a lot of them are, and I think that's very important that we'd like them to continue being able to participate in a safe way, along with everyone else. So, but it was my understanding that the ballot would be mailed out, and then it would have to be dropped off at a ballot location. Is that correct? It wouldn't be through the mayor to the city clerk, but so it wouldn't be, you don't receive it in the mail and then you mail it back. Correct? Is that?
So yeah, that actually would be an option. What we would do was to, one, ensure that if someone did mail the ballots back, that they are trackable through the U.S. Postal Service, so that the voter knew that my office, that the elections office received the ballot. That's really important to me. It means costs are going to go up, but it's really important to the voters and to the election officials for the voters to know that their ballot is being tracked, and they know, especially if they are, you know, crossing state lines, because our postal service can be slow sometimes. So that's really important. You'll see in the packet too, we've added some additional provisions to allow for electronic voting as well as an option. But we would also have voting centers open 14 days in advance of the election in case there are language translation needs, or if there's a proposition question on the ballot that people don't quite understand. We want to make sure that the voters are able to come to the office or to call into the office and talk to a translator or talk to an election official to get clarification on the ballot as it's presented. So that would be another option. We would also try to determine a safe spot for ballot storage and ballot drop box, similar to the utility drop box that they have at the finance department, where it can be locked up. So there's a lot of versatility there, but ultimately we want to initiate an election, if by mail, and again, that's an if, that is safe for the ballots, comfortable for the voters. They have plenty of options, plenty of versatility, so the voter can do what they feel most comfortable with.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Thank you, Ms. Leary.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Diamond.
Yeah. So if I'm understanding this correctly, the reason I'm opposed to this now is the good things about it. One is that I do think that over time it would increase the numbers of people who are voting, and increase the number of people who have the opportunity to vote or more easily vote. And there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I took a good long look at sort of the security provisions of it. And there are issues, and there have been issues in other places, but I'm not worried about it here. There's still some potential for fraud, but someone would have to really be trying hard to do it. This is the way I see it. But it's still very doable. I mean, I helped my 90-year-old father-in-law and my 18-year-old children with their taxes. I know their voter, I know their ID numbers. So I could easily fill something out for someone. It could easily happen. And that's prevented when you have to come in person. But I can work with that, we could work on that. But the biggest reason I think I'm opposed to this for now is that it, in some ways, it decreases options too, because if a council, for the sake of the public, what this does is allows a council 60 days before an election declares gonna be vote by mail. The problem that I have with that is that it closes the polling places. It forces people to vote by mail. There is no option. There's no option then. Some people get to vote by mail because they're more comfortable, and some people get to come to the polling place. It doesn't do that. It closes the polling places. And something about that bothers me. And so that's why I'm opposed to this now. If this were amended in certain ways, I could support it. But the fact that it forces it, in some ways, it decreases options because it forces someone to vote by mail and doesn't let people come in to vote. And so that's problematic for me. So as it's written now, I would vote against it. I can easily see how it could be amended in the future And for me, it would work. There is another issue too, which is because of COVID and because of Zoom meetings, we haven't had lots of public input for the last 2 months or ever since I've been here. And this is a big deal. I mean, talking about voting, it's like in Bethel, it's like talking about booze, it's like talking about taxes, and we're not hearing from people. And we're not hearing from people, I believe, because of the whole Zoom thing, people not wanting to come down. So the fact that we've only had two hearings on it, to me, is troublesome. And over time, I've learned as a council member and as a leader in other areas, is that the majority of people aren't comfortable with sudden change. And if things have to change, if possible, let's do it slowly and methodically. And this, to me, is really very sudden. This is giving four council members the right to say you can't come to the voting station. You can't come to the voting. You can't come to the city hall to vote. You're saying you have to vote somewhere else. And so that's problematic for me. I don't think this is ill-intentioned or a totally bad idea. In fact, I think it's a good idea in many ways. And I think that other states and cities that have adopted it over time have found how it works and how it doesn't. But to me, it's a little bit too sudden for us right now.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. I've got a question for our election extraordinaire.
You've got two.
Yeah, I've got one here.
One on the phone.
Oh, one on the phone. Yes, ma'am. So, yes. Lori, can this be an option? Can we create an ordinance where you have the option of going by mail or by person? Or is it only?
So the way that we currently have it, if this provision does not pass, we do have the option of by mail voting right now. So anyone after January 1 can apply through my office to have a by mail ballot sent to them. What this does is, for instance, at this point, I have a precinct location that hasn't confirmed with me that they will be available for us to hold the election at their precinct. If I don't have a location at 60 days to hold a precinct, I don't know how I'm going to facilitate an election. This would, if an emergency arises, provide the City of Bethel City Council, after a public hearing and a separate ordinance authorizing the election, to, in emergency measures, present a by-mail election to the voters to ensure that we can still facilitate a legal election. So with this by-mail election process, I definitely hear Councilmember Diamond's concerns. There are a lot of people who get excited about going to the election, to the polling place on election day. I get excited about that. It terrifies me. 8 o'clock on election day, you don't want to be around me, but I love it too. And I recognize the importance of that. So what we tried to do in this ordinance, which is actually unique and not available in a lot of by-mail election provisions, is the 2 week time period in advance of election day where we open our doors, where we have polling sites where people can go talk to election officials, talk to translators and say, hey, help me with the ballot. It's a person-to-person interaction where it's not necessarily on election day. They've got 2 weeks to do it as opposed to just 8 hours to say, hey, I need help. Can you help me? Yes, we can. And then they can physically vote their ballot in the presence of an election official or by themselves, it's their choice, put it in a ballot and hold it for the canvas board to review. So there is still an in-person option with this by mail election presentation because we recognize the importance of language translation in our community and in our region. And we wanted to make sure that that was still an option. And we also recognize that there can be errors in filling out the by mail ballot envelope. You have to provide an identifier. You have to have a signature line. So we also built in provisions where we would have a curing period where if somebody did not fill out the required information, my office would be able to contact them before the deadline to ensure that they had an opportunity to cure their signature, to provide the required information so that their ballot would count. Elections are very important to the City of Bethel, and we did our best, Libby and I both, to make sure that we had every option available in this ordinance in the case the emergency situation that we had to move to a by-mail ballot. By-mail elections are significantly more costly. They would be a lot more costly for this organization. Councilmember Diamond's right. The security measures that we would have to put in place are significantly higher. because we have ballots coming in all the time. And like I said, it would be really important for my office to ensure that we had a tracking mechanism on every ballot that was distributed. So I definitely see the concerns. I've heard the concerns. I have the concerns myself. But we did our very best to put a very secure ordinance and process in front of you guys tonight with the hope that if we're faced with an emergency situation, we have some mechanism to fall back on.